The Bible said, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. If correctly read, that's verse 1 and 2 of chapter 32, the book of Isaiah. You can be seated. Pray with us, please. Father, thank you tonight for your word. Thank you for the prophet Isaiah. Thank you, Lord, for holy men of old who spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God, I pray the Holy Ghost would move in our midst tonight. I pray, Lord, you'd encourage your children. I pray, Lord, that you'd convict that one, our Lord, that's outside of the ark of safety. I pray, Lord, that you'd show them their need of this King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, I pray tonight you'd clothe us in our calling. I'm well aware, our Father, that we don't know what the future holds, but God, I'm well aware that I know who holds the future. And I pray, Lord, tonight we get a glimpse of him. And Lord, I pray, Lord, tonight that you'd bless us together. Those, Lord, that are facing surgeries coming up and the testing coming up. Brother Brian, Lord, going back down to Houston. God, we pray you'd take care of our precious people. Lord, we commit them to you, realizing, our Father, that, Lord, they put their trust in thee. Help us, our Lord, tonight. And we'll give you glory. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. This morning, we looked at this man, the Lord Jesus, the King, and we made several statements. Opening up this morning, we said he was the miracle man. By the way, I was brushing my teeth a while ago, and the Holy Spirit reminded me that there wasn't 12 loaves and 5 fishes. Did any of y'all catch that this morning? Brother Grizzle, why didn't you help me? Why'd you sit there and let me say something like that? No, I believe it was 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and 12 baskets full was left over. Is that right? Amen. I didn't even look it up. I was just brushing my teeth. And the Lord said, boy, you missed that. Amen. Let me let you in on something. That won't be the last one I miss, I promise you. I'm missing more and more as the days go by. Amen. It's definitely not on purpose. I appreciate the Lord. I appreciate a church where you didn't have 75 people this morning as I went out the door telling me I missed it. Even though you know I did, amen. Ain't that good, Brother John, not to have somebody sitting there in Sunday school, amen, just telling you what you said that's wrong after you said 100 things is right, amen. It's good to be saved. Tonight, what I want to do, we talked about a little bit the miracle man, just introducing the message. He was a marred man. Pilate said, behold the man. He's the mediator, the one mediator between God and men, the man. Christ Jesus. We said this morning, we spent the service preaching on the subject, this man is a king. Not was a king or will be a king, but he is a king forever, the King of Glory. What I want you to do tonight is just look at this text here with me tonight for just a few minutes in verse number 2. Let's cover a little ground here tonight and think about our Lord, our Savior. We said this morning, and it's true, that as far as speaking specifically, it's making reference to Hezekiah. But as far as speaking prophetically, it's making reference to our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Word of God said, a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind. I thought about this. We talked about this morning his kingship. It speaks of his authority. Well, in verse number 2, we're going to see some things that portray and picture his ability. I want you to remind you, I want to remind you tonight, according to the book of Hebrews, over and over, he is able. Thank God tonight, when you and I are not able, our Lord is still able to deliver. Amen. The Word of God said a man, that's the God-man, the Christ-man, shall be as a hiding place from the wind. The psalmist said in Psalm 32 and verse number 7, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Let me just say this to you tonight. I hope that he's your king. And I hope also, beloved, when the wind begins to blow, he's your hiding place. He's that place where you can get in, amen, out of the wind. Get in out of the storm. In Psalm 119 and verse 114, the Word of God said, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. These two verses, the Lord just showed me something when I read them. There's two things going on in these verses that'll really help you when the wind's blowing. And that's singing and the Word of God, Scripture. Singing and Scripture. In verse number 1, he said, thou shalt compass me about, or in the first verse rather, Psalm 32, 7, thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. And Psalm 119, 114, thou art my hiding place. I hope in thy word. Let me just say this to you. One preacher said years ago, he said, a man said to him, said, preacher, I got a lot riding on this book. He said, that preacher looked at him, that old man of God, and said, that's a good place to let it ride. Hallelujah. Hope in the Word of God. Amen. That means trust and faith and believing what God has said in his word. The hiding place. He's able to deliver us from what we can't see. That hiding place from the wind. You can't see the wind. I was, years ago, I want you to think about this. I was in a prison meeting, and I'm almost sure, I'm not absolutely sure, I know I was in a meeting, I think it was Arkansas. It was in one of the flat states. I thank God for the mountains, but this was in one of the flat states. I remember a couple things specifically. I remember it was hard for me, Brother Ike, to find a tree that I could hide behind. I needed a big tree. Because the wind was howling, amen. And I remember this. I had a flip phone. How many remembers them things, amen? I had a flip phone, and I was down behind that tree trying to talk to my wife on the phone. You know, if you get a phone out and it's real windy, that wind blowing across the microphone, it's hard to tell what's going on. But I was down behind that tree, and I'll never forget this. The Word of God said over there, and I believe it was John chapter 3, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. But I tell you, I learned something that day. Hallelujah. God taught me something. I was down there, and here come one of them dust bowls. It looked just like a miniature tornado. The wind picked that dust up, and here it come out through there, beloved, and you could tell exactly where the wind was coming from and exactly where the wind was going. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with us? You and I that have the Holy Ghost in us, beloved, you factor in a little dust, and somebody can see the Spirit of God working in this world. Amen. See where he's coming from and where he's going. The Bible said in Isaiah 4 and 6, there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from the storm and from the rain. I say hallelujah. He's able to deliver us from what we can't see. We don't know what we might face, but thank God he's also, beloved, able to deliver us from what we can see. Say, Pastor, what do you mean? Look here. He said, a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind. You can't see the wind, but a covert from the tempest. You say, preacher, what happens here? Well, you get those waves. Are you listening? And it gets the storms are going to come. The Word of God said, thank God, our life is hid with Christ in God. Aren't you glad we have a hiding place tonight? But listen to me tonight. I think this is important, beloved. The Bible said in Psalm 61, verse 4, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Thank the Lord, he's able to deliver us even from those things that we can see going on around us. If you're looking at, my friend, the news in America and the news around the world, the waves are crashing, beloved. I'm telling you, there's some stormy times going on. But thank the Lord, we have a God that's able to deliver us. I remember when I was 10 years old, a little boy, I can remember, I don't know why my memory's so good in some places and not so good in others. There's a little boy by the name of Patrick Seidel. And I told you we were raised up poor. Patrick's daddy had a sailboat. I'm talking about a big one. Amen. Maybe it wasn't as big as I thought it was, but I was just a little boy and I thought it was huge. Amen. It looked kind of kin to what Noah might have been on to me. Amen. The big old sailboat. We went out on the Chesapeake Bay. And I'm telling you, the water, you can get out there in the Chesapeake Bay, and you might not believe this, but you can't see the shore on either side. It's that big a body of water. And the wind was blowing, and those waves were racing up, and you could see them. We had already reached the bridge, and we're turning around and coming back towards Baltimore. And Patrick's daddy cranked up the motor on the boat and got us out of the main part of the bay. And I remember this like it was yesterday. I said to Patrick, where's your daddy going? He said, he's going over here in this cove. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, what was he going over there for? I'll tell you, because, beloved, over there, there was no wind. Over there, there was no waves. Over there, the water was still. And I remember like it was yesterday, they got way back in that cove. And Patrick stood up. It was just me and him and his daddy. It was his 10th birthday. We were going on a little cruise, so to speak, on a sailboat. I can remember them standing up and stripping their T-shirt off and diving off of the side of that boat. And here was a 10-year-old boy that couldn't swim. I looked around and I seen one of them flotation devices. I throwed it in the water. And y'all like this. It finally come to pass. But anyway, I started down the ladder. And Patrick's daddy hollered, the ladder's broken. You know what I did? I just acted like I couldn't hear him. And just kept going down the ladder. And just got on. See, that daddy was covering for me now. He realizes, that young man can't swim. I didn't know how to swim. I'm going to tell you something right now. There's some Christians that don't know how to swim either. But thank God there's a place to get out of the storm. There's a place, beloved, where the water's calm and the winds are not blowing. That place is in Christ. The Word of God said it's a man that's a hiding place and a covert from the tempest. Amen. Hallelujah. What a Savior we have tonight. The Word of God said the winds and the sea obey Him. The waves, we don't see the wind, but we can see the waves. We can see the rain. The world is in a mess. You can't see that, you're blind. But thank God there's a covert for God's people. Amen. Isn't that a blessing tonight? A place to get out of the storm. Thank the Lord. Then the Bible said this. The Bible said, this man, a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, a covert from the tempest. The Word of God said, as rivers of water in a dry place. You say, preacher, I don't know how a man can be like a river. If you've ever met Jesus, you know exactly how a man can be like a river. The Word of God said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. The Bible said, I'll pour water on him that's thirsty. The Word of God said, blessed is he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, for he shall be filled. And the Word of God is talking about dry places. The Word of God said in Psalm chapter number 105, verse 41, he opened the rock and the waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river. I come to church in 1987 one night, as dry as last year's bird's nest. I'm telling you, beloved, I needed water. I needed a drink. Oh, listen to me. I used to tell the men in prison, I said, you're trying to find it in Bud Dummer. You're trying to find it in Miller Lowlife. But I said, if you ever get a drink of living water, you can put that garbage down and you don't need it anymore, because Christ will satisfy the soul of a man. And only Christ will satisfy the soul of a man. The Bible said he opened the rock. The waters gushed out. There they were in the wilderness. By the way, beloved, the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, every child of God ought to feel more and more and more and more like this is a wilderness that we live in. Beloved, they don't even know how to, my friend, act naturally anymore. So much is going on that's unnatural and ungodly in our land. Beloved, I'll tell you tonight, it's a dry place. But this man, Christ, is water in a dry place. Hallelujah. I believe with all of my heart, there are a whole lot of pulpits in the land that's dry. I believe the church has dried up a long time before the homes did. Say amen. I believe, beloved, listen, the church has dried up before the schools did. Everybody's mad at the school for not having the prayer, not having the Word of God. It's took out of the home a long time before it was took out of the church. The man is a water. Christ is water in a dry place. I don't know about you tonight. There's part of me, my wife said this to me this afternoon. She said, honey, that was a little bit rough this morning. I said, which part? She said, that part where you said, just turn the electricity off and turn the water off and let them kill one another. Sometimes the truth is rough. Amen. And that she did say just a little bit rough. She didn't say a whole lot rough. Amen. But I want you to know something tonight. There's a part of me, Brother Steve, that feels exactly what I said this morning. There's another part of me, Brother Steve, that looks at that crowd. I look at them, and I say, you know what's wrong? It's a dry place. They looked everywhere in the world. They've looked in their drugs, and they've looked in their alcohol, and they've looked in the sex culture. They've looked everywhere in the world for water. And they still ain't found no water. And there they are. They're out there in a dry place. And what they need is Christ. What they need is Christ. I'm going to tell you something right now. That mayor, I don't even know her name. Good thing I don't, because I'd call it if I knew it. But that mayor got on the news and said, they're just going to have a love fest this summer. No, they know nothing of love. I said, love is of God. Love is God. Amen. They know nothing of love. It's a dry place. Aren't you glad? Thank God. There was a time in your life when your heart was dry and your life was dry. And here come not a mud puddle, but here come a river and filled you up. Amen. For the glory of God. Oh, beloved friend, we don't deserve that. I asked Brother Ralph and Sister Shelby. Well, I gotta rephrase that, because I told Sister Shelby that it wasn't a request, it was a command. Amen. Brother Ralph, for long, I believe, is going to sing us a song. And I don't know if the trio is going to back him up or the choir is going to back him up. However, Brother Ralph feels led on that. Brother Ralph, I want you to sing that song for your pastor, for your Savior. I listened to George Yount sing that song last night. Brother Steve, I think I sent it to you. He said, I thirst. Our Savior died on an old rugged cross crying, I thirst. He said, I thirst. Yet he made the river. He said, I thirst. Yet he made the sea. He said, I thirst, said the King of the ages. But hallelujah, in his great thirst, he brought water to me. Hallelujah. He was willing to be thirsty so that I can be filled and have my thirst satisfied in him. A man, the word of God said, shall be like water in a dry place. If any of you all ever been out west, if you've been out west, raise your hand. If you've been, I flew into Las Vegas one time. The plane just sat down. We got fuel and went on to Portland, Oregon. Miss Eve and I didn't get off the plane. I was afraid she'd get in one of them casinos and get in trouble. So we just stayed on the plane. But even if you go into Illinois and you go into Missouri, you go into Arkansas, the flatland I call it, Brother Steve, they'll have a big pump station. They have irrigation ditches. If there's a river, it could be miles over there to the river. But they have ditches where they get that water to flow out of that river over into that farmland. You realize there's not much hills and valleys, so it's basically flat. But they'll have a pump station, brother. I don't know if you've ever seen it or not. But it'll be here, and there'll be a big, long, it's kind of a metal, a boom that goes way, I'm talking about way, way, way. I've seen them that would reach from the road all the way back to the shelter back here. And that pump station's pumping water. And on that metal boom, there's a big hose. It's hanging out through there like that right there, just dangled out through there. And that thing will pump water. And then there's a wheel out on that end of it. There's a gear, and it's got a motor on it where that boom will go like that all around that field. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say the farmers realize, beloved, there's going to be some times of drought, and you got to do something to get the water to where the plants are. Let me tell you something, as a church, a church is not always going to be on the mountain. A church is going to go through some times of drought. A pastor's going to go through some times of drought. Your home's going to go through some times of drought. But aren't you glad the Word of God said there's a man, his name's Christ. He'll come with the water just in time. Amen. He'll come with that water, and he'll water his own. Thank the Lord. This man is water in a dry place. I don't know if you ever thought about Jesus being a hiding place, but he is. I don't know if you ever thought about Jesus being a covert from the tempest, but he is. I don't know if you ever thought about Jesus being water in a dry place, but he is. I'm telling you, he is. What a Savior we have tonight. What a Savior. Let me give you this last thing, and I'm done. I think I'm going to have to start running 5 miles a day, maybe a month. But anyway, get back in shape so I can preach twice on Sunday again. Amen. But anyway, I got ruined, Brother Steve, during that downtime. Amen. I worked physically, but, you know, a lot of people don't think preaching's work. We ought to try it sometime. And my grandpa said years ago, he said, I believe you can preach one message that's easier to work 8 hours than it is to preach one message. And if you don't know that, beloved, I didn't know it at the time. I thought, well, that's crazy. But I'm going to tell you something. It takes something out of you. And I'm going to tell you something. Your pastor needs your prayers. I have an enemy. He hates my guts. At least we agree. I hate his too. Amen. And I love the Lord tonight. This man is a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. The Word of God talks about the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. I wonder when the children of Israel came over there where Moses, you remember the first time he smote the rock. That's what God told him to do. And the water gushed out. I believe it's what the Word of God's talking about here with the water. You remember that rock that followed them, the Word of God said in Corinthians, was Christ. Say amen. As some people say, you can't find Jesus in the Old Testament. I don't know which Bible they're reading. He's all over mine. You can't even get out of the book of Genesis without finding him. Amen. You can't even get out of Genesis 1 without finding him. Amen. The Word of God. This man is a shadow in a great rock. I wonder how many of those people and the children of Israel had the privilege to sit down in the shadow of that rock. Wonder how many thought, boy, this is something. Amen. But you know what happened? Listen to me. Listen, there's a good illustration right here. They got used to it. And so they started complaining again. Let me tell you something. One of the most dangerous places that a Christian will ever be in is getting used to being saved. Getting used to the blessings of God. Getting used to owning a Bible. Getting used to having access through prayer to the holiest of all. Getting used to a choir like this. Getting used to a church like this. Beloved, we should not take for granted the blessings of our God. We shouldn't even get used to a peanut butter cracker. Somebody help me tonight. We ought to look down at that clean peanut butter cracker and wonder how many people in this world would give anything to have a clean peanut butter cracker. How many, Brother Steve, would give anything to have one clean bottle of water tonight? I'm telling you, God's been good to us. And we don't need to take His blessings for granted. They got to murmuring. They got to complaining. They wanted some meat now. You know why? They got out from under the shadow of that rock in that weary land. I believe tonight the Word of God said, and they did all drink that same spiritual drink. They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. I believe that tonight. Let me give you this, just three things the Lord spoke to my heart about, and I'll be done tonight. First of all, I want you to think about the shadow of defeat. The Word of God said, this man is the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. You say, preacher, where do you find somebody like that? I'll tell you where. Joshua. You remember how God blessed Joshua? How that God told Joshua, said, you're the man that's going to stand in there for Moses now. Moses, my servant, is dead. And he called Joshua. Have not I commanded thee? And beloved, there they go down there to, Jericho. They go down there and they win a great victory at Jericho. Then they leave Jericho and they go down to Ai. And beloved, they ended up getting their tails whooped down there at Ai. Joshua's down on his face before God. Joshua's praying. And God said, Joshua, get up. Get thee up. There's sin in the camp. I'm telling you, beloved, it was a defeat. They went from a great victory to a great defeat. In a time of defeat, you say, preacher, I ain't never been defeated. I don't even know if you've lived very long. If you ain't never been defeated, say amen. How many knows what I'm talking about? Been defeated spiritually. You didn't know if you could go on another step or not. But thank God for the rock. Thank God for that shadow of that rock in a weary land. A place to rest. A place to get refreshed. A place to go on another mile. I thought about the shadow of discouragement. You remember what Elijah did? He sat down under a juniper tree, under the shadow of that juniper tree. Said, I could wish myself that I could die. Amen. But you see, God had another plan. And there was a shadow that day that came by. And God fed him. And God gave him some water. And God spoke to him. And God spoke to him again. And the Word of God said that Elijah got up and he went, I believe it was 40 days in the strength of that meat that God had given him in the shadow. Our Lord is a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. There's one more time, I believe, when you're going to be glad to be in the shadow, Brother Gary, of this great rock. And that's when we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Hallelujah. I'm glad, thank God, the rock's going with me. You say, preacher, I don't know where you get that from. Beloved, listen, we're going to just be going. It's just going to be a shadow. In order to have a shadow, you've got to have a bright light. The Word of God said, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I'm telling you, beloved, He's not sending an escort. He's coming after me. And when it's time to go, I'll be going to be with Jesus. This man Jesus, He is my King. This man is my hiding place. This man is my covert from the tempest. This man is water in a dry place. And this man is the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. I wish I could tell you about Him. He loves us tonight. He loves you tonight. And I believe tonight with all of my heart, what's missing in America is Christ. Amen. When I wonder, Brother Steve, when Franklin Graham comes on and makes a commercial, I wonder how many people snicker, how many people sneer when the man has given them the answer. Our problem is a sin problem. Our problem is a heart problem. Our problem is a dry place that just needs some water. And beloved, I thank God tonight that we have a Savior that's a rock, a Savior that's the shadow, a Savior that'll bring us water, a Savior that was willing to thirst so that you and I could have our thirst satisfied. Are you glad you come tonight? Are you glad you know Him? I'm telling you tonight, beloved, listen. Everybody in this building is either going through something or knows somebody that's going through something. I got a text message today. A man and his wife going through some things. Pray for us, Pastor. I'm going to tell you tonight, God knows what we need. Amen. And God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think, according to the power that worketh in us. The Word of God said in verse 17, look down here with me, please, just a moment. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. You say, preacher, why don't we have peace? Because that is not the work of unrighteousness. That's the work of righteousness. The work of righteousness shall be peace. And the Word of God said, and the effect of righteousness, watch this now, quietness and assurance forever. Boy, how we ought to thank Him tonight. If you can say tonight, I know my name is written over there. I know when the King of Kings comes. I know that when He sees me, He sees the blood of the Lamb. You ought to thank God tonight for that blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Thank you for coming. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for your people. Thank you, Father, tonight that you are our Savior, our soon coming King. Thank you, Lord, for the times in my life when I felt like giving up. Lord, you led me by Calvary. You led me, Lord, to the Garden of Gethsemane. I started, Lord, with you there and went to Calvary. Lord, by the time I did that in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, I no longer wanted to quit. I wanted to go on. The Apostle Paul went through many, many things, yet he was able to come to the end of his life and say, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. God, help us tonight. Help us tonight, Lord, that we might be able to say the same at the end of the journey. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Not to me only, but to all them also that love His appearing. Thank you, Lord, in the middle of what our nation's going through, for a group of people that would gather around the songs of Zion, gather around the Word of God, and Lord, love one another. Help us, our Father. Increase our love for the Bible and for our Lord and for each other. Increase our love for the sinner. Help us, Lord, to realize that much of what's going on is because of unrighteousness and a dry and a thirsty heart. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name.